RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls on Canada to open its market wider to Indonesian products. The Indonesian Olympic Committee, or COWI, forms working group to finish Asian Games master plan. Indonesia has not changed plan to attend Paris meeting on climate change. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to open his country's market wider to Indonesian products such as rubber, paper, furniture, electronic goods, footwear, coffee, and tea. President Joko Widodo also invited Canadian businessmen to invest in Indonesia, particularly in the field of agriculture, technology, and infrastructure, during their first bilateral meeting held on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Antalya, Turkey, on Sunday. He explained that the Indonesian government has issued a number of economic policy packages to improve investment climate in the country. The president hoped that Canadian businessmen could take advantage from business opportunities in Indonesia. The two leaders have seen that cooperation in trade and investment between the two countries is wide open. The trade balance between Indonesia and Canada reached $2.6 billion in 2014. On global issues, the two leaders discussed efforts to intensify cooperation in the climate change and the fight against transnational crimes. He hoped Canada would follow Indonesia in increasing commitment to reduce the gas emission rate. Indonesian House of Representatives to make sure its plan to attend in the World Parliamentarians meeting that will be held in December, including the UN meeting on climate change and the 8th Asian Parliamentary meeting. This was conveyed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Setia Novanto, in an opening speech of the House plenary meeting on Monday in Jakarta. Setia Novanto mentioned the presence of the Indonesian Parliament in the world-level meeting is expected to contribute positively to the resolution of international problems.
Berkaitan dengan peran diplomasi parlemen, pada masa persidangan dua ini, DPR akan menugaskan...
Related to the role of parliament diplomacy, during the second session, the House will assign delegates to participate at the meeting of the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Paris, France, on December 5-6, 2015, and the 8th Asian Parliamentary Assembly Parliamentary Session in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, on December 8-11, 2015. The House participation in the international is expected to contribute to finding solutions toward various international problems on the agenda of discussion in the hearings.
Masalah internasional yang menjadi agenda pembahasan dalam sidang-sidang tersebut.
in addition to ensuring the participation of the Indonesian parliament in the world-level meeting. Setia Novanto also said, in the second session of 2015-2016 period, the House will make a goodwill visit or working visit to friendly countries, namely the Philippines, Belgium, and Poland. According to him, the role of the Indonesian parliamentary diplomacy has significant meaning in supporting the Indonesian government diplomacy as well as to support effort to strengthen Indonesian relationship with other countries. The Indonesian Olympic Committee, or COI, has formed a working group to finish the master plan for the 2018 Asian Games, as the old COI organizing committees could not able to finish the plan until the September deadline. As a result, preparation for Asian Games in Jakarta has stalled on the COI, and the government are facing difficulties to execute Asian Games preparations that have been launched earlier this year. Youth and Sport Minister spokesperson Gatot S. Dewabroto was appointed the working group's chairman, and Dodi Iswandi, COI Secretary General, was appointed as the group's secretary. According to Gatot, the difficulty to finish the master plan is related to the COI Congress held on November the 1st. The Congress took too much time of the old COI committees led by Rita Subowo and resulted in Rita being replaced by Erick Thohir, her deputy. The condition was also marked by the dualism in the networking team assigned to find candidate for chairman. Rita's camp made their own networking team, while Erick's camp, which is commanded by Dodi Iswandi, also formed a similar team. Indonesian Minister for the Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya said in Jakarta on Monday that the Indonesian delegation remains ready to take part in the climate change meeting in Paris to be held from November 30 to December 11 this year. A number of countries have warned their citizens from going to Paris after the terrorist attacks that left at least 129 people dead there last weekend. Consolidation continues, the minister said, adding as for Indonesia foreign policy position would be discussed with Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi. Indonesian President Joko Widodo had joined the world in the condemnation of the terrorist attacks and indicated that Indonesia remained committed to attending the climate change conference in Paris. Siti Nurbaya said she would talk with the foreign minister upon arrival of Minister Retno from Turkey. The foreign minister is in Turkey accompanying the president on a visit there. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In a bid to increase the bilateral trade with Indonesia, Hungary opened the Hungarian Trade House last month. It is an agency under the country's foreign ministry to help Hungarian businesses settle in Indonesia. Judith Nemetpak, the Hungarian ambassador to Indonesia, said that the opening of the agency aimed to facilitate business relations between both countries, and it will bring other Hungarian companies to open their offices in Indonesia, she said at JW Marriott Hotel in Jakarta. She further said that Hungary is one of the European Union countries that could survive well during the global economic slowdown with 3.6% GDP this year. Nemetpak believes that the economic relationship between Indonesia and Hungary will be beneficial for both, with the latter offering technology transfer in fields such as IT, infrastructure development, water and wastewater management, renewable energy, smart city solutions, medical devices, and pharmaceutical. The two countries' annual bilateral trade also continues to increase every year. General Chairman of the Central Board of Muhammadiyah Youth Dahnil Anzar Simanjuntak said ISIS claiming to be behind the terror bombing in Paris was an attempt to link Islam with terrorism. No religion, including Islam, tells its followers to kill innocent people. Linking Islam with terrorism is not right, Dhanil said in Jakarta on Monday. He said whatever the reason, terrorism could not be justified. However, there are facts that group of people hijack Islam to commit terror in the name of religion. With the fact, it is difficult not to link conspiracy, I should say conspiracy of states or certain groups with the terror attacks in Paris, Syria, etc. He said, if a conspiracy to hijack Islam and commit terrorism is an extraordinary crime against humanism, it is time for the whole world to unite to prevent similar incident without blaming certain groups, especially Islam. Dhanil added that the central board of the Muhammadiyah Youth Organization expressed sympathy with the victims of the terror attacks that left at least 129 people dead and more than 350 others injured. The last item. Chairman of Parliament Commission 6 Dodi Reza Alex said 20 trillion rupiah fund will be disbursed from the state budget for the infrastructure development in South Sumatra in welcoming Asian Games 2018. South Sumatra will develop toll roads and light railways, which will all be using the state budget fund, which will be disbursed this year, Dodi said in Palembang on Monday, December 16th. The development needs to be carefully monitored so that the program will go as planned. South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin said the development that is currently implemented should be supported so that it could be completed according to schedule. The project proposes to improve society's economy, therefore it should be successful, Reza said. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls on Canada to open its market wider to Indonesian products. The Indonesian Olympic Committee, or COI, forms working group to finish Asian Games master plan. Indonesia has not changed plan to attend Paris meeting on climate change. That was the news.
This is Ania Sana with commentary entitled No Tolerance for Terrorism. Listener, the world was shocked by the attack that took place in Paris Friday, November 13, 2015. A number of terror acts ranging from shootings to suicide bombings occurred in several different places. More than 150 people died. Condemnation of the perpetrators of the attack were coming from world leaders. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, in his Twitter account, expresses deep sorrow and sympathy for the victims of violence in Paris. Indeed, terrorism in any forms and for any reasons cannot be justified. Before his departure to Turkey Saturday morning, President Joko Widodo formally stated his stance on the attack in Paris. Terrorism, he said, cannot be tolerated, so he invited the international community to combat terrorism. In Indonesia, various people and groups also reacted to this Paris attack. Member of Parliament Ahmad Zainuddin said, acts of terror, from threatening or intimidating to killing a human being for any reasons, cannot be justified. All condemn the barbaric acts of terrorism in Paris. Nahdlatul Ulama NU, the largest Islamic organization in Indonesia, expressed deep sorrow over the victims of the attacks and bombings in Paris. It strongly condemned any act of terror that it said is barbaric or uncivilized. Nahdlatul Ulama also reminds all parties that no religions, including Islam, advocate violence. Chairman of the Board of Nahdlatul Ulama, or NU, Said Akil Sirat said, taking the life of another person intentionally is destroying humanity. NU also urged the international community not to rush to express accusations against certain parties. According to Said Akil, creating a conducive atmosphere would be better for the investigation process. While chairman of Muhammadiyah, the second largest Islamic organization in Indonesia, Haidar Nasir, invites religious circles to unite to address the incidents of bloody attacks in Paris. According to him, all religions should unite and condemn the acts of terrorism, which are contrary to the noble values of religion and humanity. deliberate attacks with the aim of killing another person in any form must be condemned, especially when it is done allegedly on behalf of a religion. For no religion teaches its follower to commit acts of violence and brutality. The world must unite to fight terrorism. Such attacks in Paris may happen in any other countries in the face of the earth by anyone. It is time to join hands to fight terrorism without accusing any particular religious group as the perpetrators. There is no tolerance for terrorism. And listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on November 16, 1904, when John Fleming invented the two-electrode vacuum tube rectifier. Sir John Ambrose Fleming was a British electrical engineer and physicist. In 1904, he invented the two-electrode vacuum tube rectifier, which he called the oscillation valve, for which he received a patent on 16 November. It was also called a thermionic valve, vacuum diode, kinetron, thermionic tube, or Fleming valve. The Supreme Court of the United States later invalidated the patent because of an improper disclaimer and additionally maintained the technology in the patent was known art when filed. This invention is often considered to have been the beginning of electronics, for this was the first vacuum tube. Fleming's diode was used in radio receivers and radars for many decades afterwards, until it was superseded by solid-state electronic technology more than 50 years later. And the next event was in 1995 when UNESCO declared Declaration of Principles on Tolerance. The International Day for Tolerance is an annual observance declared by UNESCO in 1995 to generate public awareness of the dangers of intolerance. It is observed on 16 November. The purpose of this warning is to provide awareness to the public on the importance of tolerance in maintaining relations between communities. It is also as an affirmation of tolerance that has been mentioned in a number of international human rights instruments. And the last event was in 2002 when Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, or SARS, began in the Guangdong province of China. On November 16, 2002, an outbreak of what is believed to be Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, or SARS, began in the Guangdong province of China, which borders on Hong Kong. The first case of infection was speculated to be a farmer in Foshan County. The People's Republic of China, PRC, notified the World Health Organization, WHO, about this outbreak on February 10, reporting 305 cases, including 105 healthcare workers and 5 deaths. It was later reported that the outbreak in Guangdong had peaked in mid-February, but that appears to be false, as later 806 infections and 34 deaths were reported. Early in the epidemic, the PRC discouraged its press from reporting on SARS and lagged in reporting the situation to the World Health Organization, delaying the initial report. Initially, it did not provide information for Chinese provinces other than Guangdong, the province where the disease is believed to have originated. For example, a WHO team that traveled to Beijing was not allowed to visit the Guangdong province for several weeks. This resulted in international criticism, which seemed to have caused a change in government policy in early April. The PRC health minister has apologized for early days in reporting and has been holding regular press conferences. The PRC government appears to have issued directives that the press should not refrain from stating bad news and that government officials should accept media supervision. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on Indonesia, an example of tolerance in various fields. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. November the 16th is celebrated as the International Day of Tolerance. The date is defined by UNESCO in connection with the Declaration of Principles on Tolerance in 1995, which is celebrated the next year after in 1996. Determination of the International Tolerance Day aims to raise public awareness of the importance of tolerance in maintaining relationships in society. The commemoration also reiterates the attitude of tolerance which has been mentioned in a number of international human rights instruments. This year is the 20th International Day for Tolerance celebrated by UNESCO. It is undertaken to respect and understand the rights and religious beliefs of individual communities in the world. In commemoration of World Tolerance Day, the United Nations underlines the importance of tolerance in society and help people to understand the bad things that could arise from non-tolerance attitudes. In essence, tolerance means to accept differences or appreciate the differences. Furthermore, the meaning of tolerance is respect, no matter the difference in background, race, ethnicity, religion, skin color, or sexual orientation are. This is consistent with one of the pillars of democracy in Indonesia, unity in diversity. A facilitator of peace agreement between the Free Aceh Movement and the Indonesian government in 2005, better known by the name of the Helsinki MOU, Juha Christensen, to RRI after a ceremony on reflection, 10 years of peace in Aceh, in the office of the National Commission on Human Rights in Jakarta recently said that Indonesia has become an example of a country with many religions followers who respect each other. According to Juha Christensen, Indonesia is a good example in the presence of religious tolerance and unity in diversity because Indonesia is a great nation that has a combination of 6 different religions. In addition to religious tolerance, another thing to have is political tolerance and inter-ethnic tolerance. Juha Christensen, who now serves as the senior advisor at the University of Finland, hopes that the international community can improve and get used to living in tolerance toward each other. Mutual respect will be the main values that can foster interreligious tolerance. Meanwhile, Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir, during an interview with RRI World Service in Jakarta on Saturday, said there are 3 main factors that must be done so that the tolerance can work well, especially religious tolerance. What we are conveying to the outside world is that there are at least 3 factors. The first is that we have an agreement, consensus, how to manage. Secondly, we have the mechanism. It's already been very nicely stated by the Interreligious Harmony Forum. The third is involving all stakeholders, especially, in this case, the religious leaders and community leaders in managing a conflict. And in fact, we never linger when there was a friction. When it was managed through 3 factors, we never linger when it happens. Furthermore, A.M. Fakhir gives an example that the Indonesian government managed to practice tolerance in religions, politics, and tribe. Among tribes, such as happened between the Free Aceh Movement and the government of Indonesia, conflicts between religions in Ambon and Poso all were successfully resolved by peaceful means. The commemoration of the World Tolerance Day was conducted in Tamrin area in Jakarta on Sunday, November the 16th, with a parade involving 3,000 people and was attended by the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Susana Yambise, as well as the Minister of Social Affairs, Hovifah Indar Parawangsa. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta today, November 16, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes perpetrators of Paris terror attack was divided into three teams. French police believes that perpetrators of terror attacks that killed 129 people in seven places in Paris consisted of three teams. Each member wore a bulletproof vest, assault rifles, and explosives. It was estimated there were suspected terrorists who entered Europe as migrants and refugees. On Sunday, November the 15, the attacker was identified as Mostafa Omar Ismail, a resident of Paris. French prosecutor Molins Francais confirmed seven attackers were killed, not eight as previously rumored. One of them was recorded as a migrant from Syria. Prosecutor refers to the discovery of a Syrian passport near the body of one of the attackers. Of fingerprints known, he is registered refugee entering Europe in Greece. It raises suspicion that the attackers entered Europe in disguise as migrants from Syria. Hundreds of European citizens went to Syria to join the Islamic State group of Iraq and Syria, and some have returned back to their countries. Media Indonesia writes, the world is united to combat terrorism. A series of deadly attacks that occurred in several regions in France and claimed to be the action of the extremist group Islamic State IS has made the world united. U.S. President Barack Obama, Russian President Vladimir Putin, Chinese President Xi Jinping, as well as other world leaders who are members of the G20, at the summit of G20 in Antalya, Turkey, declared that they jointly denounced and condemned the acts of terrorism. Obama, after meeting with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, said yesterday, the joint front it stands in solidarity to hunt down the perpetrators of this crime and bring them to justice. Obama condemns all criminal acts, including a double suicide bombing that occurred last month in Ankara, Turkey, and vowed to redouble all efforts to destroy the IS network. The massacre that killed 129 people in Paris greatly affected the situation of the G20 summit. And we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia Daily, which writes Indonesia's chance to affirm direction of trade policy. The Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation or APEC Summit 2015 in the Philippines can be an affirmation of the direction of trade and investment policies in the era of Indonesia under President Joko Widodo. Because Indonesia faced with deadlines for easing import taxes or customs duties of 54 types of environmentally friendly goods, or commonly known as Annex C, Communique Vladivostok 2012, to become 5% or less at the end of this year. Meanwhile, the summit, which will take place on November 18 to 19, 2015, faced with the fact that majority of the members of the APEC economies are at risk of experiencing a slowdown in 2015 and 2016. Trade inclusivity is valued to be one of the ways to ward off the risk. And listener, that was headlines from several national dailies published today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to open his country's market wider to Indonesian products, such as rubber, paper, furniture, electronic goods, footwear, coffee and tea. President Joko Widodo also invited Canadian businessmen to invest in Indonesia, particularly in the field of agriculture, technology and infrastructure, during the first bilateral meeting held on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Antalya, Turkey, on Sunday. Indonesian House of Representatives to make sure its plan to attend
in the World Parliamentarians meeting that will be held in December, including the UN meeting on climate change and the 8th Asian Parliamentary meeting. The Indonesian Olympic Committee, or COI, has formed a working group to finish the master plan for the 2018 Asian Games, as the old COI organizing committees could not able to finish the plan until the September deadline. Indonesian Minister for the Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya said in Jakarta on Monday that the Indonesian delegation remains ready to take part in the climate change meeting in Paris to be held from November 30th to December 11th this year. In a bid to increase the bilateral trade with Indonesia, Hungary opened the Hungarian Trade House last month. It is an agency under the country's foreign ministry to help Hungarian businesses settle in Indonesia. General Chairman of the Central Board of Muhammadiyah Youth, Daniel Ansar Simanjuntak, said ISIS, claiming to be behind the terror bombing in Paris, was an attempt to link Islam with terrorism. No religion, including Islam, tells its followers to kill innocent people. Linking Islam with terrorism is not right, Daniel said in Jakarta Monday. And whatever the reason, terrorism could not be justified. Chairman of Parliament Commission 6, Dodi Reza Alex, said 20 trillion rupiah fund will be disbursed from the state budget for the infrastructure development in South Sumatra in welcoming Asian Games 2018. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to have a tour to West Nusa Tenggara province, so stay tuned. Listener, Mount Rinjani is located in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara province. The mountain is part of Mount Rinjani National Park and its width is about 41.330 hectares. Mount Rinjani is the second highest mountain in Indonesia with its height about 3,726 meters above sea level. Its beautiful landscape makes this mountain favorite location for local and foreign climbers. Now, Mount Rinjani is closed for climbers until unspecified time because of its eruption activity. Listener, although it is not possible to explore the beauty of Mount Rinjani, there are some areas around Mount Rinjani which are still safe from eruption and have beautiful landscape. There are some interesting places around Mount Rinjani that can be visited. One of them is Kanji Hill. The 1,800 meters above sea level Kanji Hill is located at the slope of Mount Rinjani. In Kanji Hill, visitors are not going to climb, but doing forest exploration. When exploring the forest, visitors will find various flora and fauna. Interestingly, before exploring the forest, the visitors will be invited by the local residents to do some traditional ritual. If you are interested in the beauty and uniqueness of Kanji Hill, you can visit it by airplane. Firstly, you must go to the airport in Lombok, then rent a car to Sembalun village, the first village to climb Mount Rinjani. In this village, you can directly go to Kanji Hill. There are some tour packages that you can choose for Kanji Hill tour, namely Wildflower Walk. You will be accompanied by a tour guide, a porter, and a spiritual guide. Everyone has to do traditional ritual led by the spiritual guide before going into the forest. The ritual is like ritual offerings such as cigarettes, tobaccos, betel leaves, nut leaves, and red rice or grain combined with brown sugar. The offerings will be privately conducted by the spiritual guide. At the same time, the spiritual guide will introduce the people who want to go to the forest one by one. Then the spiritual guide will turn fire on as a life sign and he will touch the participant's forehead with an onion. Listeners, exploring the forest around Kanji Hill, you will find various flora. One of them is orchid flower. These flowers are widely grown in the forest. Either as parasite with its white flower or purple flower looks like grass. Besides orchid, there are also many mountain pines dominating the forest. The pine's latex is believed by the residents to cure digestive health problems. It can be used to ease stomach ache or diarrhea in urgent condition. However, there are also poisonous and dangerous plants in Kanji Hill. It can cause irritation and poisoning, such as Kelor Balit leaf. The leaf is the most delicate one because nobody dares to touch the leaf. There is also Seraksak leaf. If it is touched, it will make itchiness in 1 week. There is also Jelatang leaf, which can make itchiness until a month. Not only the plants, but also the wild animals' activity is interesting in Kanji Hill. The easiest one to do is herding cattle. At Mount Rinjani National Park, the local residents often herd the cattle and leave it at the mountain. If they want to call it, just use salt or call it with special sounds. In the afternoon, you can see the birds. Lombok has small parrot called Pering. These birds can be seen between January and March. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Kanji Hill in West Nusa Tenggara Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menjemput di Bandara, which in English means picking up at the airport. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Menjemput. Menjemput, which means to pick up. Bandara. Bandar udara, which means airport. Anak. Anak, which means child. Menunggu. Menunggu, which means wait for. Kabar. Kabar, which means news or information. Rencana. Rencana, which means plan. Tinggal landas. Tinggal landas, which means take off. Mendarat. Mendarat, which means landing. Pukul 8 lewat 40 menit. Pukul 8 lewat 40 menit, which means at 8:40. Waktu Indonesia Tengah. Waktu Indonesia Tengah, which means Central Indonesia Standard Time. Pukul 9 lewat 10 menit. Pukul 9 lewat 10 menit, which means at 10 minutes past 9. Waktu Indonesia Barat. Waktu Indonesia Barat, which means West Indonesia Standard Time. Tunda. Tunda, which means delay. Penerbangan. Penerbangan, which means flight. 1 jam 45 menit. 1 jam 45 menit, which means 1 hour 45 minutes. Makan. Makan, which means eat. Minum kopi. Minum kopi, which means drink coffee. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjemput di Bandara, or in English means picking up at the airport. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ani at parking area. A. Nita. Kelihatannya hari ini kamu sibuk. Kelihatannya hari ini kamu sibuk. Ada apa? Ada apa? Which means, you look busy today. What happens? B. Ani. Saya sedang menunggu kabar dari anak saya. Saya sedang menunggu kabar dari anak saya. Which means, I'm waiting for information from my son or daughter. Dia sedang berada di Bali, mau pulang ke Jakarta. Dia sedang berada di Bali, mau pulang ke Jakarta, which means she or he is in Bali and will go back to Jakarta. Rencananya pesawatnya tinggal landas dari bandara di Bali pukul 8:40 or 8:40 waktu Indonesia Tengah. Rencananya pesawatnya tinggal landas dari bandara di Bali pukul 8:40 waktu Indonesia Tengah. Which means, according to the schedule, the plane will take off from the airport in Bali at 8:40 Central Indonesia Standard Time. Mendarat di Jakarta pukul 9:10 waktu Indonesia Barat. mendarat di Jakarta pukul 9 lewat 10 menit waktu Indonesia Barat, which means it will land in Jakarta at 10 minutes past 9 West Indonesia Standard Time. Tapi katanya pesawat ditunda. Tapi katanya pesawat ditunda, which means but the plane is delayed. A. Nita. Berapa lama penerbangan Bali-Jakarta? Berapa lama penerbangan Bali-Jakarta? Which means, how long is Bali-Jakarta flight? B. Ani. Penerbangan Bali-Jakarta kurang lebih 1 jam 45 menit. Penerbangan Bali-Jakarta kurang lebih 1 jam 45 menit. Which means, Bali-Jakarta flight is about 1 hour 45 minutes. A. Nita. Lebih baik kita berangkat ke bandara sekarang. Lebih baik kita berangkat ke bandara sekarang. Which means, why don't we leave for the airport now? Kita bisa menunggu di sana sambil makan dan minum kopi. Kita bisa menunggu di sana sambil makan dan minum kopi. Which means, we can wait there while eating something and drinking coffee. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you a singer and a song composer, namely Bruri Marantika. Well listener, let's listen to a song entitled Senandung Rindu. Happy listening.
Money.
Listener, the song was composed by Arianto in 1967 and popularized by Teddy Gaddy with Pop Gentry. The song was later released again by Bruri Merantika in Kroncong Gentry. The song reminds someone to a beautiful memories in the past. By singing the memory songs, her lover seemed to be on her or his side. Listener, as long as his career, Bruri Merantika has released 19 albums, including best album and duet album with Dewi Yul. In addition, Bruri also had a duet with Malaysian singer Sharifah Aini, as well as with a number of Indonesian top singers such as Emilia Contessa and Vina Panduwinata. The song Angin Malam has popularized the name of Bruri Merantika. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aku Jatuh Cinta. Happy listening.
Jatuh cinta padamu. Janganlah kau berkata benci, walau hatimu tak sudi. Biarkanlah anganku ikut bayang-bayangmu kemana saja. Dalam hati sayang hanya namamu.
Listener, the romance story becomes an interesting in the musical works. This song was nicely delivered by Bruri with his distinctive voice. Love comes with a variety of stories, like the lyric in the song. Bruri, who was known as an entertainer, who singing and entertain his fans. His style is very distinctive and full of improvisation. Talking about Indonesian music, is not complete without the name of Bruri Merantika or Bruri Pesulima. Bruri died in Depok on November 23, 2001, at the age of 53 years. Well, listeners, to conclude our music for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Untuk Apalagi and Pamit by Bruri Marantika. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bukan maksud hatiku untuk menyakiti ataupun mengkhianati. Bukan maksud hatiku pergi dan berlari dari kenyataan ini. Bukan aku sembunyi sayang, bukan aku tak ingin bersama dirimu kasih cerita cinta di antara kita masih terukir di dalam darah. Bila memang kau pergi, di manakah lagi akan ku cari pengganti? Bila kau tiada lagi, mana mungkin nanti cinta kita akan bersemi? Berikan kesempatan sayang, mungkin aku dapat mengambil suatu keputusan serasa tiada guna.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.